Right. Good morning. Thank you all for being here. And those of you online, thanks for tuning in. I'm Dove, and I'm one of the pastors, and I'm glad to be together. So I wanted to start with the story of the three little pigs. Some of you might know this. If you're not familiar with all the details, I brought the book, and you can borrow it afterwards, but the basic gist of the story of the three little pigs is there's three little pigs, and they leave home. And one of them, most likely the oldest, is the hardworking pig. And he goes off, and he works really hard, and he builds a really good house. And the two pigs, probably the younger pigs, you guys know how younger pigs are. They went off, and they would rather sing and dance and goof around all day. And so they cut a lot of corners, and they built some pretty shoddy houses. And then, when the challenges of life, the big bad wolf came, the houses of those pigs who just played around, sang and danced, and cut corners, and didn't work hard, their houses came tumbling down. In fact, their whole lives collapsed. And that hard-working pig, he rescued them. And his life worked out. And there's a really good truth in there. And especially as an oldest child, I can appreciate that. I can appreciate, you know, we should be hard-working. We should put effort into the things we do. Life is not about goofing around and playing games. There's work that needs done. And there will be results in your life. You will reap the consequences. And there's a really important truth in there. But there's also something in there that has been kind of twisted in my life. And I would like to share with you guys just what God's been teaching me in the last 3 or 4 months. And a big part of what he's been teaching me has been, is not actually been from this book, Three Little Pigs, but it's connected to that. And part of how God has been teaching me is through some of the work by a pastor named Marcus Warner and an organization called Deeper Walk. And I've just been connected to some resources there, including an online group that has really blessed me and kind of changed some of the ways that I think. And then also, I read this book called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret, which is a really powerful book, and God just kind of used it at a time in my life when I could really hear what he was saying, and I would like to read it again because there's a lot in there. So I would like to share with you guys a little bit about some of the myth of the three little pigs. There's something in this story that has been broken in my life and maybe in yours. And I want to share something really powerful with you, which is called joy and the importance of joy. So why don't we pray, and we're going to jump into this. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this morning to be together. Thank you that we could come and worship you and just be aware of your presence. Thank you for how good you are to us. Thank you that you are a God who takes even the difficulties and the pain of life and uses them for good. What kind of a God can do that? You are so amazing. Thank you that you have touched my life. And let me see the reality of Christ, that you have invited me into this place with you, just with an open door, free of guilt, open before you. Thank you for this time this morning. Please teach us. Please grow us in the depths of our spirits. Grow us in our understanding. Grow us closer to you. Have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I don't know if the oldest pig knew this. Which way is on this? But 1 Thessalonians 5:16. There's a pretty wild verse in the Bible. It says, "Be joyful always." And I don't know about you, if you read that and go, yeah, that's a good way to get nothing done. That's a good way to mess up your life. That's a good way to end up with nothing in the future. That's a good way to squander what God's given you. And I think in that there's a reality in there that is so true that shows that myth that I have about joy. And so the first thing I just want to share today is we are invited into a life of joy. God has invited us with Him into a life of joy. He actually wants that. And He's actually has that available to us. And so I think there's some obstacles that we face to that joy. The first is what I was talking about. Sometimes there's that lie that being joyful always, it's irresponsible. It's negligent. It is immature. Come on, life is serious business. You can't be playing around all the time. You can't just be singing and dancing when there's work to be done. And I remember it for me, after college, I didn't get a job with my degree, but I got a job for a guy in the church doing manual labor. And he was a great guy. I loved working for him. And the work was really hard. It was like moving rocks, operating heavy equipment. And I remember just being like, man, sometimes this is a huge pain. And it would be a lot more bearable if I enjoyed it. And I remember asking him one lunchtime, hey, would it be okay if I just really enjoy what I'm doing? Like, would that be okay with you? Because I kind of felt the pressure of like, you're not here to have fun. You're here to work. So would it be okay if I'm just like, if I enjoy my work? And as any of you that have bosses, you can probably predict what he said. As long as you get a lot done, I don't care if you enjoy it or not. That was kind of more or less what he said. But I think there's this myth that if you are joyful, you will not be as productive or as responsible. And I just want to throw that out the window. Those are not the same. God is not inviting us to play around and never be responsible. But we can walk in joy and still be responsible. And live a very full and beautiful life. And in fact, the case I want to make is a more full life. I think another obstacle that I face, is sometimes we just run out of joy. It's like my joy tank is empty. And so the next kid that says, hey, stop touching me, to another kid, they're going to get it. Like, the tank's gone. And so when the tank is empty sometimes, we just go to this place of overwhelm. And that's a reality. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that later on today. But I think another obstacle for me, I realize as I've been learning to walk in joy, is that sometimes I don't want to be joyful. Because when I'm joyful, I can sometimes get taken advantage of. Because I don't know how to say no sometimes. It's like, I should probably just go to bed. I should say no and go to bed. But as long as I'm happy, people are going to want to hang out with me. And I can't say, no, I need to go to bed. So what works is if I get really cranky, then people are like, go to bed. We don't want to be with you. So it's like a lack of ability to set boundaries. And you may have seen that in your life. If joyfully you say something like, hey, please don't do that. I don't appreciate it. People might not take you as serious. If you say, you touch me again, and I will... then they'll take you serious. And so there's kind of this, I don't know how to set boundaries, so I'm going to go to this place of that's not joy, to like protect myself. And even I feel like sadness is sometimes a protective place for me. I just want to be really sad, and I just want to be in this bubble. And part of what I want to share with you today, is that you can be sad and still be in a place of joy. Because God's definition of joy is different than the world's definition of joy. And the world's definition of joy, I would describe it more as elation, excitement. joy is when you are at Disneyland. And I think God's definition of joy is this deep sense of restful peace. And even in the midst of sadness, we can have a deep sense of restful peace, of I am glad to be here. I am glad to be with you. That is joy. I am glad to be here. I'm glad to be here in my life. And I am glad to be with those that are in my life. That is joy. Could sadness be in the midst of that? Absolutely. Other emotions could be in the midst of that joy. And so I want to share a little bit about how to build joy capacity. This is something that has been new to me, and I've really appreciated it. I was first aware of kind of some of the learning about our brains in college when I was studying to be a teacher. And they did a famous experiment, and they got rats. And they got two groups of rats. And one group of rats, they put them in a cage that was full of games and stimulus. All kinds of things, sights and sounds and wheels and balls and toys. And they had another group of rats, and in that one there was nothing. It was just an empty cage. And then they took the rats after they let them live in there, I'm not sure of the time frame, and they killed them, and they cut open their heads, and they actually took their brains out, and they measured the mass of their brains. And kind of as a surprise to some of our thinking of the brain, some of our thinking of the brain over the course of time has been that your brain is really fixed. You don't grow new neurons, it's kind of what you got is what you got. And they were really surprised to find that there was a measurable difference in the mass of the brains of the rats that had stimulus compared to the others. Because they were using these neural pathways and it strengthened them, and they actually grew bigger. Surprising. Some of you guys are so busy being like, they killed rats just to measure their brains? You missed the whole point of it. But anyways, they did. They killed rats, and if you love rats, that's sad. But it was really interesting. But the truth is, it kind of like muscles, if you use muscles, they get stronger. If you use pathways in your brain, they actually get stronger. If you have a memory that you think about every single day, that pathway in your brain gets bigger. Neurologically, it gets bigger. So if you spend a ton of time being angry, your pathway to anger becomes really easy, really fast, really immediate, really accessible, because it's bigger and it's easy to get to. If you practice being joyful, that pathway in your brain actually gets stronger. It's like, this was cool to me to like learn about. How awesome. Okay. So today I want to share this, and we're actually going to do a little exercise in this. So I don't know if you guys know about burpees. Burpees are horrible. Burpees make you really buff. Burpees are a way to get strong. And so rather than just showing you how to do a burpee, I'm going to have you guys do a burpee today. And so the first place that we can build our joy muscle, level one joy, is when we find joy in the gifts of God. And there's actually many ways to do this. One of those we did together earlier. Singing to God builds your ability to find joy. Because singing builds these neural pathways. And you might have some amazing ways in your life that you find joy. What we're going to do today is we're going to practice an appreciation memory. And so first I'm going to share with you what it looks like, and then we're going to take 3 minutes together, and we're going to actually strengthen that appreciation muscle together. The way it works is you think of a memory in your life, it might be yesterday, it might be a ways back, that you really appreciate. And try not to find one that has some negatives with it. It's just pure good. So if you can find one that's pure good, if there's any negatives, erase them. We're not looking at those right now. So a time that's pure good, and you're just going to think about that time. And when you think of it, you're going to like put yourself back into it. And you're going to sit there and think, what do I see? What do I hear? Maybe there's some smells. What do I smell? What do I feel? And then on top of that, what do I feel on the inside? And you're going to sit in that place and just feel all those and just be there and just let that neural pathway just be strengthened. And then from that place, after you're in it a little bit, I want to ask you to say, God, is there anything else you would like me to see or to know? And the cool thing, I was doing this with a friend last week. And the memory I had, it was, I had a really good friend in college. And the amazing thing was, I felt like in so many different ways, he was a really high-class dude, and I was a really low-class dude. In so many different ways. And we lived in the dorms together for 4 years, and he would leave his door open so that people could come into his room. And I would come into his room, and he had these little, I don't know if you've seen those little dorm chairs, they just sit on the floor and they can kind of rock on the floor. And if you put your fingers on them, they really hurt. You only do that a couple times. And I would come and I would sit on the floor, and he would be trying to do his homework, and he would let me distract him. And I would just sit there and I would just talk to him. And I was remembering just the feel of that chair and that nasty dorm carpet. And just being with this friend who was so important to me. And when I asked God, God, is there anything you want me to see or know? The sense I had was God wanted me to know that this friend, who I respected so much, was glad to have me there. That he was glad to be with me. And that meant so much to me. It was like, Aaron is glad to be with me. And then as I sat there, like, God, is there anything else you want me to know or see? The sense that came in my mind was, Dove, from God, my door is always open, and I'm always glad to be with you. And it was beautiful just to, like, be able to, from a place of appreciation, I believe we can hear the voice of God better than from a place of anxiety. From a place of anxiety, it's very difficult to hear the voice of God because our mind is so scattered and anxious. But from a place of joy, I believe we can hear the voice of God much clearer. Okay, so 3 minutes of silence is kind of awkward because we live in a very busy place. Some of us just need noise. And so I acknowledge it's going to be slightly awkward. We're going to take 3 minutes. And in that 3 minutes, I want you to sit in that memory for a while and just enjoy it. What do you see? What do you smell? What do you feel inside? And then after a couple minutes, I'm not going to say anything out loud, but as you feel like you're in it pretty, just ask God, is there anything else you want me to know? Anything else you want me to see? And if you have a sense of something wonderful, if you don't, that's totally fine. Just enjoy that time, building some joy capacity. All right, we're going to take 3 minutes. You guys just did one joy burpee, and so one joy burpee is actually useful. Your brain actually reinforced that pathway of joy in a small way. The bonus you can get is if you share that memory with somebody, you get a second possibility on it. I was very much appreciating, I think it's because there's an aisle right here, and my wife is right there. I was remembering our wedding, and I had these men on my side that would die for me. I had the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen walking down this aisle just to see me. It was just like, wow. God, you are good. Okay, that's level one joy. Level two joy is the joy that we find in the presence of God. Just in His presence. Not even in the gifts of God. In Psalm 16:11 it says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." We even sang that in House of God. The presence of God. The presence of God fills us with joy, even in the midst of enemies, in the midst of challenges. That joy of just being with God. Mary says it well, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Habakkuk is really challenging. He's talking about this really tough time. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." How amazing. The circumstances of God are such a gift, and they gain joy in our lives. But when all of those are gone, there's still this tremendous joy just from God Himself. And so I think as we take time to enjoy the gifts of God, it builds our capacity, our where we can actually enjoy God with, even without those, to be aware of Him and His goodness. I want to read a quote from Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. I was really blessed by just his perspective. So it says, "The secret of his own strength was not far to seek. Whenever work permitted, Mr. Taylor was in the habit of turning to a little harmonium for refreshment, playing and singing many a favorite hymn, but always coming back to, I don't know the tune, so I won't try to sing it, but, 'Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart.'" One of the 18 evangelists, this is part of the story, Mr. George Nickel, was with him on one occasion when some letters were handed into his office bringing news of serious writing in two of the older stations of the mission. So they're in China. They have these different mission stations set up. They went through tremendous atrocities, rioting. Sometimes their whole base would be torn apart and people accused and stuff. So he just gets news of this rioting. Thinking that Mr. Taylor might wish to be alone, the younger man was about to withdraw when, to his surprise, someone began to whistle. It was the soft refrain of the same well-loved hymn, "Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art." Turning back, Mr. Nickel could not help exclaiming, "How can you whistle when our friends are in much danger? Would you have me anxious and troubled?" was the quiet reply. "That would not help them, and would certainly incapacitate me for my work. I have just to roll the burden of the Lord." Day and night, this was his secret, just to roll the burden on the Lord. Frequently, those who were wakeful in the little house of Ching Kang might hear at 2 or 3 in the morning the soft refrain of Mr. Taylor's favorite hymn. He had learned, for him, only one life was possible, just that blessed life of resting and rejoicing in the Lord under all circumstances, while he dealt with the difficulties inward and outward, great and small. And when they talk about difficulties inward and outward, great and small, we're talking no joke. We're talking like watching his kids die of diseases, his wife, being paralyzed himself, like, just these tremendous difficulties, and to just receive them and walk in joy. He learned how to find joy in God. And so we're invited into that. I want to tell you another story of the three pigs. So there was three little pigs, and the oldest pig did not know how to have any joy. All he knew how to do was work. And they all built a house, and they were actually all hard workers. And the one pig, he stressed about it day and night. He worked day and night. He thought about it day and night. He didn't take any breaks. He didn't enjoy the process. He had stuff to get done. The second pig whistled while he worked. And the third pig was aware of the presence of God while he worked. And later on in their lives, surprisingly, you would think the one who never took a break and worked tirelessly would build the house first. He actually didn't, and it wasn't actually the best. But later in their lives, guess which house you would hear come out of it, "Hey, kid, get off my lawn!" It wasn't the pigs that learned to find joy in the midst of life, or to be aware of the presence of God that is the ultimate source of joy. So, being restful in joy does not ignore responsibilities. Some of you guys already know this. You guys have been telling me this for years. Anyways, I just have to learn it myself. But instead, and you might see this in your own life, joy is an avenue to engage in the challenges of life productively. When I am in a place of joy instead of anxiety, I find that the problems of life, I engage with creativity, with connection to other people, and with an energy that is otherwise defeating without it. Joy is a tremendous gift. You have permission in your life to be joyful. It doesn't have to discount anyone's pain. It doesn't have to discount your own pain. It doesn't have to pretend like nothing in life is hard. But you have permission from God to be joyful always. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you invite us into this place of joy. God, I pray that you would strengthen us in joy, that we would think about those things in life that are pure and lovely and wonderful and great, beautiful and trustworthy. That we would fix our gaze on you, build in us an awareness of the joy in you, grow us in the joy of the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you that there is joy in your presence. We love you and need you. In Jesus' name, amen.